Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our habit, would you read together with me today's sermon title from the screen? Don't hang up the phone. Based on our gospel reading from St. Luke chapter 3, especially verse 4. The voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. I invite you to open up your worship handout, find there the sermon outline as we consider our theme, don't hang up the phone. Well, the phone rings, you pick it up and you say, hello. Then a voice on the other end of the line says, hey, how you doing? And you pause, and the pause gets longer, and then you say with a question in your voice, I'm okay, because you don't recognize the voice. You see, some people are in the habit of just phoning and beginning a conversation assuming you know who they are. At times, I don't know who it is. And it gets embarrassing as I wonder, how long shall I wait before I say, and you are who? Has that ever happened to you? If you're one of those people who phone me and don't tell me who you are, quit it. Tell me who you are. But another time, the phone rings. You pick it up and say, hello. And the voice says, hey. How are you doing? And right away, you know who it is. How come? Because there are certain people whose voices we know so well, as soon as we hear it, we want to listen to it, and we know exactly who it is. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we gather to listen to a voice. A voice that St. Luke tells us is a voice of him crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The voice on the other end of the phone is none other than John the Baptizer. And he has an important message for each of us this morning. Pay attention. Don't hang up the phone. Listen to John. He's calling for you. We know John as the forerunner of Christ, as the one who came to prepare the world for Jesus' coming. We know John as that wild man living in the wilderness, dressed in camel hair clothing, eating locust and wild honey. We know him as the man who baptized so many people that he was given a title, John the Baptizer. But most of all, we remember John because of his voice. A voice and a message he came to proclaim. Repent, says John. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In the Old Testament times, God raised up prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Amos to call his people to repentance, to quit following after false gods, to quit trusting in their own good deeds instead of on the mercy of God for their salvation, to quit their half-hearted worship of just going through the motions. The same things were true in the New Testament account of John the Baptizer. John could be actually called the last of the Old Testament prophets. John was a voice in the wilderness calling people to repent of these very same sins. And what happened? The people responded. The gospel account in Luke tells us, and I quote, people went out to John from Jerusalem and Judea, the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by John in the Jordan River. Don't hang up the phone. Because God has sent John today to give us the same message, to call us to repentance. Can you hear his voice calling? He's calling for you. Don't hang up the phone. You see, the people of God in the Old Testament in Israel often worshiped God half-heartedly. And today we find ourselves guilty of the same sin. Whenever we make a habit of skipping church on Sunday for another activity, we need to repent. Whenever we hear God's word preached, but really don't pay attention or don't apply it to our Monday through Saturday lives, we need to repent. Whenever we treat Sunday worship as a burdensome responsibility instead of a joyful privilege, we need to repent. Whenever we think that our salvation is based on our church membership, rather than trusting that Jesus paid the price for our sins on the cross of Calvary, we need to repent. Now, the biblical word for repent is this. Watch me. The biblical word for repent means change the direction you were going. Part of repentance is sorrow. But full repentance is not just feeling sad for what we've done, but changing the direction we're going in our thinking and in our acting. Listen carefully to this next sentence. And if you've hung up the phone and aren't listening, now is the time to listen. It is only the Holy Spirit of the living God who can bring this kind of repentance in our hearts and in our minds. You see, the people who heard John's voice really heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to them and convicting them. And the Holy Spirit led them to be baptized by John in what Luke calls in his gospel a baptism of repentance. As the Holy Spirit led people in John's time to hear God's word and to be baptized, so the Holy Spirit of the living God is leading you here to this place today to listen to God's word to you. And if you have not yet been baptized, nor your children baptized, know that you are welcome here to be instructed in the Christian faith and to receive God's gift of holy baptism. Just speak to me. We'll make sure those very things happen. Dear friends, through our ongoing hearing of God's word in this place, our faith is being strengthened. We grow in trusting that because of Jesus Christ, God the Almighty Father no longer condemns us for our sin. Let me say that again. Because of what Jesus has done for us on Calvary's cross, God the Heavenly Father no longer sees you dressed in your sin. He sees you covered in the righteousness of Christ. Paul says it this way. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Now listen carefully to this. This is an amazing teaching of Scripture. Because of Jesus on the cross, when Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, looks and sees you, you who have put your faith in Christ, He doesn't see your filth. He doesn't see your sin. He sees you dressed in the righteousness of Jesus and covered by His blood. Romans 8, verse 1, Paul says it this way. There is no longer, therefore, any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's an old hymn in our hymn book. It's hymn 563. Listen to how it puts it about being covered in Christ's righteousness. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Bold shall I stand in that great day, cleansed and redeemed, no debt to pay. Lord, I believe we're sinners more than sands upon the ocean shore. You have for all a ransom paid, for all a full atonement made. My friends, we're talking about the cross here. For the Christian, it is all about the cross. Everything we hold dear is connected to what Jesus has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, this time of the year, of course, what are most of us thinking about? We're thinking about Christmas and Jesus' birth. But catch this. The very reason for Christmas is the cross. Jesus was born that he might lay down his life. Jesus was born that he might die for us as our Savior. Christmas, without the cross, means little or nothing. That's the reason that after the first Sunday of Advent, during the Christmas season, in our house, in a window that faces the street and the sidewalk, we place a big cross lit with bright red lights. We want anyone who sees it to connect Christmas with the cross. Jesus' first coming at Christmas, as the Christmas baby, points toward the one who will lay down his life for all sinners. And Jesus' second coming at the end of the world, as the judge of all mankind, points back to the one who already did lay down his life to pay for the sins of all people. The voice of John told the people of his day and tells us today that the best way to be ready, the best way to be ready for Christmas and for the second coming of Christ is to repent. Repentance gets us right with God. Repentance gets us ready for the advent of Jesus, whether his Christmas advent, his coming, or his coming at the end of the world. Now, let me ask you this morning, are you ready for the coming of Jesus? Are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? If you're anything like Beverly or like me, when you know a special guest is coming to your house, what do? You prepare. You get ready. You should just see me quickly dusting and vacuuming and cleaning the bathrooms as Beverly is preparing the wonderful meal. My mother would laugh. She'd be proud. But why do we prepare? Because we want to be ready for the arrival of their special guest. They're coming. Their adventing is important to us, and we want everything to be just right. The voice of John tells us today in the gospel lesson that the best way to prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus, whether at Christmas or the end of the world, is to repent. To dust, to vacuum, to clean. To clean the sins from our lives and to turn from them to the Lord in obedience. When John's voice called the people to repentance in his day, what was their response? Listen to this common refrain. Verse 10. And the crowds asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 12. And the tax collectors asked him, "What shall we do?" Verse 14 of Luke 3. And the soldiers asked him, "What shall we do?" John told them all this. Here is the key phrase. You need to bear the fruits of repentance. Now, Scripture gives us two very broad and clear principles about bearing the fruits of repentance. Look on your sermon outline, the last two points. Principle number one, turning away from the sin that you are repenting of. To the greedy and selfish of his day, John the Baptizer said, give clothing and food to those who are in need. To the cheating tax collectors, John said, quit ripping people off. Collect only what is right. To a woman one day caught in adultery, our Lord Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Now go and leave your life of sin. Now here's where the sermon gets personal this morning. What sin do you need to turn from in this Advent season? Let me ask it again and make it a personal answer from your heart. What sin do you need to turn from in this Advent season? If it is anger and holding on to a grudge, then forgiveness is in order. If it is neglecting your parents or your children, then giving them your time and affection is in order. If it is neglecting God in His holy house and His word, then a change in your weekly priorities is in order. The fruit of repentance is turning from the sin you're repenting of. And here's some good news. The Holy Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives in you by faith, He will strengthen you for this holy task. Principle number two, look at your outline. Restore, if possible, that which sin has ruined. You remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector, one of my heroes in the Bible, short of stature, had to climb up a sycamore tree when Jesus came to his town of Jericho. Well, when Zacchaeus, the tax collector, came down from that tree in response to Jesus' invitation, listen to what Zacchaeus said. It illustrates the second principle, restore what sin has ruined. Zacchaeus said, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone of anything in my tax collection, I will pay back four times the amount. Luke 19, verse 8. What sinned, ruined situation do you need to restore in this season of Advent? It is not too late to restore that which has been ruined. Let me say it again. It is not too late to restore that which has been ruined. Jesus Christ, whose Spirit lives in you through faith, will strengthen you for this holy task. But please, my dear friends, take that first step. No matter how small a step that might be, to restore what sin has ruined in your life, make that phone call. Write that letter. Send that card or email. Personally deliver that bouquet of flowers. Take that walk and knock on that special house of that door of that house. If there is a way, any way, to even begin to restore what sin has ruined, the Spirit-led fruit of repentance will lead us to do just that. Now, we're going to end this sermon where we began. Sometimes when I pick up the phone, I hear a voice on the other end of the line. And it doesn't call me Pastor. And it doesn't call me Dr. Harold. It doesn't even call me Stephen. If a voice on the other end of the phone sounds like this, hello, is this Mr. Herald, then I'm pretty sure I don't want to listen to that voice, because they're probably trying to sell me something I don't want or I don't need. That's a voice I don't want to listen to. I just want to politely hang up the phone. But today, in this sermon, the voice of John the Baptizer is calling to you and to me. His message is, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Don't hang up the phone. Listen carefully to what John is saying to you. His message is a simple one. His message is an important one. Repent, says John. Daily repent and discover the wonderful difference it will make in your life. Dear Lord, we ask that you would make each one of us here today your repentant and forgiven child, ready for the advent of Jesus, both at Christmas and at the end of the world. In the name of Jesus. Amen.